You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Wednesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Mercury News. Make sure to follow the podcast wherever you get podcasts, and of course, subscribe here on YouTube. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me this Friday at 11 Pacific time to get in on the action. Today, we're going to talk about game one of the NBA Finals and what the Warriors can take away from that. And as we know, coaches, general managers, teams watch these finals. This is a league where teams copy what it is that's successful. And we saw that for years with the Warriors and what was successful with them. We saw teams from all over trying to mimic Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the three-point shooting, the ball movement, the switching everything on defense. But my thoughts watching Chris Paul and Devin Booker surgically disassemble Milwaukee's top-rated defense was that I think we're going to see the league tilt more toward pick-and-roll and mid-range shooting specifically again. And we have seen this now for a few years in the playoffs, and even when the Warriors were in the finals. The reason the Warriors went out and got Kevin Durant was that there was an understanding that all that three-point shooting and all of that great defense and all that ball movement is great, and it can get you 73 wins in a season. But when push comes to shove, the NBA Finals and the biggest moments comes down so often to one-on-one basketball. And you need a guy who can win those one-on-one matchups. And that's why they were so motivated to go out and get Kevin Durant, because, of course, as we know, he is one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league, in those isolation possessions. Chris Paul has gotten really, really good at those isolation spots. Devin Booker has been very, very good in that mid-range area in those isolation type of possessions. In years prior, we saw LeBron James and Kyrie Irving take advantage of the Warriors in those 2016 finals. I would argue that the Warriors would be better off had they targeted more systematically Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love in pick and roll and things like that. They might have not blown a 3-1 lead in that series had they done a little bit more of that. But we saw LeBron for years play that exact kind of basketball and go to the finals for basically a straight decade. Kyrie Irving did that in those same finals. We've saw Kevin Durant do that for the Warriors. We've seen Kawhi Leonard do that in the 2019 finals, where he was picking on guys in an injured Warriors lineup. We saw Jimmy Butler do it last year to help Miami get to the finals. And we saw him specifically, we know that Jimmy Butler's not a three-point shooter, but leaning into that mid-range game. And I am watching Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Chris Paul in game one. Phoenix wins that game 118-105. They score 118 points against a top-rated Milwaukee Bucks defense. And these are two elite defenses. And the Suns, look, Giannis looked healthy. They had their best defenders out there. The Suns made minced meat out of them. Chris Paul, 32 points, 12 of 19 shooting and 9 assists, took over in that second half. Then Devin Booker, 27 points on 8 for 21 shooting, not as efficient, but got to the free throw line, made 10 of his 10 free throws, also had 6 assists in the game. The Suns as a team, according to ESPN.com, had 16 mid-range points, and man, it felt like more than that. And if you include some of that dicey area, that's that paint area kind of extended, it's probably a lot more than 16 mid-range points. I could guarantee you it's more than 16 mid-range points. But Milwaukee didn't have many of those. They shot well from three-point range. They took away that corner three from the Suns that is such a bellwether for that Suns offense. But it didn't matter because Chris Paul was getting to his spot on the right side of the floor. Devin Booker was getting to his turnaround jumpers. The Suns got everything they wanted, and Milwaukee would show them a lot of different looks. Mike Budenholzer, criticized for years for not making adjustments, made adjustments on the fly over the course of that game, right? They started switching everything, which is what they did against Atlanta and Trae Young, and Atlanta, of course, runs a ton of pick and roll. It looks different than the way the Suns do it, right? Trae Young likes to get to those long threes. They like to get Clint Capella on the roll. Trae Young likes to try to get to the rim, into that floater game in that restricted area kind of space. Chris Paul and Devin Booker are going to live in that mid-range zone. So they switched everything. That required Brook Lopez playing a little bit more space, Bobby Portis playing in a little bit more space, and they were uncomfortable. And the Suns destroyed them. Chris Paul annihilated Brook Lopez, annihilated Bobby Portis. Devin Booker got to his spots, got off his shots, took more shots than Chris Paul even. Then we saw Budenholzer say, you know what? Let's go back to our drop coverage. That's where we're naturally best. Well, that's now giving Chris Paul and Devin Booker too much space. Brook Lopez couldn't close out in time. Bobby Portis couldn't close out in time. PJ Tucker couldn't close out in time. These guys playing drop coverage, now you're just giving them these open looks from the mid-range, and that we saw Chris Paul take over in that second half when Budenholzer did that. So what did they do after that? Well, they tried to play a little bit of drop, tried to play tighter defense, have guys chase guys off of screens a little bit harder, a little bit tighter, and that's going to be the effort that Milwaukee needs to put together. It's not going to be a systematic thing. It's not going to be suddenly, hey, let's put the drop is working or the switching everything is working if you're the Bucks. No, that's not. You're going to have to play whatever your base defense is, and I think it's going to end up going, they're going to go back to that drop coverage, and they're going to have to play that base defense even better, and it is going to take so much effort from guys like Giannis and Brook Lopez and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton to chase these guys all over the place that I don't know what they're going to have left for the offensive end. And so that's the interesting thing here. I am watching that game, and I am telling you it strikes me that when you have that mid-range game in a league that is consistently giving up those mid-range shots, because what do we know mid-range shots to be? We know that to be the most inefficient shot in the game. But if you're somebody like Chris Paul or Devin Booker or Kevin Durant or Jimmy Butler or any of these guys, Kyrie Irving, these guys who thrive in that space, now you're just giving them. Most defense are just giving them that shot. Because if you switch everything, then you have a guy on your heel and you can rise up in that mid-range spot. And if you drop, then you're giving it up wide open. And that's what most defenses are right now. Because you can't afford to play one-on-one with the way three-point shooting is anymore. You just can't. With all of the screens and all that stuff, it's just so hard to play just base one-on-one defense. Can't do it. You get blown by every time. You give up an open shot every time, basically. So I'm watching that game, and I'm like, if you could get a guy where everybody, a few years ago, everybody wanted Steph. Everybody wanted the guy to take 30-foot three-pointers. And we saw that break the game, right? Stretch the boundaries of what we knew offense to be. Change the geometry of the game completely. We saw that. It's not, and that, by the way, is not going anywhere. You've got Steph. You've got Damian Lillard, you've got Luka Doncic doing it, you've got Trey doing it, you've got these guys now doing that. So what is the result? Well, now you have even more space. Pick and roll became what? Became high pick and roll. And so now you're running these 30-foot pick and roll type of sets, and you're forcing the defense to defend even more ground than they've ever had to defend. And that mid-range shot is even more open than it ever was. And if you can hit that mid-range shot at a 50% clip or something close to it, that's an efficient shot. I don't care where it is on the floor. And Chris Paul is one of the best mid-range shooters we've ever seen. And Devin Booker is among the best mid-range shooters of this generation. So they got two guys. And so, and I tend to believe that you could find a guy who could shoot at that range, at 16, 18 feet. Those guys are more available. Guys who could shoot that open at a 48, 50% clip, that guy is more available than an all-time shooter like Steph or Damian Lillard pulling up from 30 feet. Those guys are rare. And that's why I always said, you can't mimic what the Warriors did unless you have two all-time shooters, Steph and Klay Thompson. Portland had one of those guys. Damian Lillard's a great shooter. Great. One of the all-time best three-point shooters we've seen. They only have one of those guys. But I think with what Phoenix is doing, I'm not saying they're the blueprint from the next finals team, but I'm telling you this. General managers, players, coaches, they are watching what's happening. They are noticing. And they're going to involve some of that stuff. Because when you can run pick and roll the way that they do, as effectively as they do because they practice it so much. And they pick out the switches and they pick out the mismatches. And you got a guy like Chris Paul with this high basketball IQ and Devin Booker with this crazy scoring talent. You got guys like that and you can get to your spots. And you're telling it's or a defense is now saying that, hey, we're giving up these mid-range points, these mid-range shots all the time because all we want to do is take away shots at the rim and take away that three-pointer, which is that efficient shot that we have been conditioned to take away because of Steph and everything that's happened over the last half decade. Now we're going to give up those mid-range shots, and man, this guy's shooting 50% from that distance. What do you do? It felt like they were breaking the game a little bit. It felt like they did. I want to talk about what Steph Curry could take away from that. Because I think he's in a unique situation at this point in his career to maybe involve some of that in his game. We'll talk about that next. But first, let's talk about Spotify Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Warriors once a week, and you can join in on the conversation that you listen to here every single day. Green Room is perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to the biggest breaking news. Be sure to join me this Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, along with Bram Hilsman of the Warriors Huddle podcast. I'm letting you know now, so mark it down on your calendar. 11 a.m. on Friday. Usually we do it noon on Thursdays. Because of our schedules this week, we're moving into 11 a.m. Pacific on Friday. Be a friend. Come on through, come with questions, and be ready to listen to some great Warriors talk. Go download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter account, and then join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow me, of course, at WC Goldberg to be notified when my room goes live. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season. So what can Steph take away from these NBA finals? What we saw Steph do this year, won the scoring title, career high in three-point attempts. I don't think that that should go anywhere. But I think we should see him maybe pick up some of that mid-range game that we're seeing from Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And the reason I say that is because that three-point shooting that I was talking about before we went to break there, that was so much created by Steph in the spacing and the way he changed this generation of the NBA. He's already creating that kind of space. And if you run Steph in a high pick-and-roll action and get him into that mid-range area, he is going to have so much room to work. And I understand that he is going to have double teams, triple teams. We expect that to not be so much the case when Klay Thompson comes back and whatever they do this offseason. He's still going to be facing those double and triple teams. But as we know, he's seeing those double and triple teams when he crosses half court. They're trying to take away the three-point shot. Once he gets by a screen, a Draymond Green dribble handoff, a Kevon Looney screen, something like that, teams will try to take away that mid-range, but at that point, they're scrambling, right? And mostly, he's seeing most of that traffic by the rim. And you look at his shot plot from last year, it is wildly efficient. It's bananas efficient. Everything's at the rim. Everything's from the three-point line. There's a reason, or beyond. There's a reason why he was the NBA's top scorer, okay? But he also showed that he could be a three-level scorer. He goes into that floater in that, you know, painted area outside the restricted area a lot. But he's got that mid-range game. Steph is a 48% mid-range shooter. He shot 48% last year. He shot 51% in the paint non-restricted area. That's that spot that I'm talking about that Chris Paul and Devin Booker are using and bending defenses to their will with. Steph can get to those spots. Now, this is not me trying to tell Steph how to be a better scorer. He's the best scorer in the league. He just showed that. He doesn't need my help. All I'm saying is if I'm Steph Curry and I'm watching these finals, I'm thinking to myself, I could do that. I can do that. But right now, the offense that I'm in requires me to take a bunch of threes. and a bunch of shots at the rim. I have been trained to be efficient because I'm one of the most efficient scorers of all time. But I think there's going to be some wiggle room. And I think if you look, if you project forward with what this roster is going to be, assuming that James Wiseman is a part of it, the pick and roll is going to be a huge part of this team going. It has to be. The pick and roll and the pick and pop, it has to be a staple of the offense. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But for as much as Steph broke the game, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, they are showing you that that stuff, that mid-range stuff, that isolation ball matters. And here's the difference between the Warriors in 2016 when they got Kevin Durant and the Warriors now, even without Kevin Durant. Or the difference right before in 2015. Right? Before they got Kevin Durant, when they blew the 3-1 lead in the finals. Steph's better now. Steph back then was a jump shooter. Yeah, he hit a layup. He was a three-point shooter. He was a jump shooter. That's why Charles Barkley said jump shooting teams don't win championships. We hadn't seen it before. Warriors obviously proved him wrong. And then they kind of proved him right when they lost to the Cavaliers. So they went out and did what? They got Kevin Durant because they know they needed that presence. They don't need to reacquire Kevin Durant. Steph is better now as a three-level scorer, as an all-around scorer, than he was back then, than he was before they got Kevin Durant, even when they got Kevin Durant. To replace Kevin Durant, it's going to take Steph Curry doing basically what he did last year on a better team. And so I think what we are seeing, and look, I'm not sitting here saying that the Suns are going to win the finals or anything like that, but I'm telling you, this is a Suns team that used the pick and roll in the mid-range game to go from the worst record in the league 4 years ago to in the NBA finals. That matters regardless of whether they win this series or not. That matters. And we've seen it time and time again. And the Warriors acknowledged that that isolation ball matters. That's why they got Durant. I think Steph could do this. Maybe he's not going to have to do it in the regular season. I still think he should take 15 threes a game next year. I'm not saying he should take less threes. I'm not saying he should take less shots. I think he should shoot more. He should just shoot more often. He's the best scorer in the league. We don't know what Klay Thompson's going to look like. Draymond Green's not what he was 5 years ago. Andrew Wiggins can fill in occasionally. We'll see what they do with the rest of this roster. But barring another top-level scorer joining this team, I think Steph should just be shooting as much as anybody in the NBA. As much as anybody in the NBA. Nobody should be taking more field goal attempts per game than Steph, maybe other than Russell Westbrook, because he takes a bananas amount of shots per game. But what I saw Steph do this regular season, I think he could do that in the playoffs. I know he could do that in the playoffs. We've seen parts of it. But I think involving more of what Chris Paul and Devin Booker were doing, involving more of what Monty Williams, a friend of Steve Kerr's, is doing with the Suns, doing more of that during the regular season and preparing to use that at an extreme amount in the postseason would bode well for these Warriors and for Steph. Because I think he's the kind of guy that can carry you the way that Chris Paul and Devin Booker are carrying Phoenix. Of course, it's going to take the rest of the roster to get on board. It's going to take Steve Kerr to change the offense a little bit. All things that we've talked about and something I want to talk about here in a minute. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but unlike most protein bars, it actually tastes good and it's good for you. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they have 10 different flavors available now, and they're always creating and releasing new exciting flavors. Like this week, they just came out with a flavor that basically is the Girl Scout Cookie Thin Mint. It's called Grasshopper, and you are going to look, if you love Thin Mints, and who doesn't love Thin Mints? To me, it's the number one Girl Scout cookie. If you love Thin Mints, you're going to love this Built Bar. Try it now. We've got a promo code for you, LOCKED15, to get 15% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's also take a moment to talk about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA playoffs are on, and even though the Warriors aren't a part of it, you can be. Take a look at the spreads, the money lines, the over-unders, and more at BetOnline. BetOnline also covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Starting July 19th, check out the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former GM Ryan McDonough. Our Locked On NBA local experts will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, news that matters to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y. So what can the Warriors do? How has the Suns run to the finals and their shellacking of the Bucks? I know it got close, but they led by 20. It got to 7 points, I believe, at one point in the fourth quarter, but it was essentially a wire-to-wire win for Phoenix, and they dissected Milwaukee's top-rated defense. That is going to cause a stir. It's going to have ripple effects in the NBA. Teams are watching what they are doing with the pick-and-roll and with the mid-range game specifically in that mismatch basketball that they are playing that has been a part of the NBA for years, but they are bending to its extremes here. Teams are watching that. Most teams don't have a guy like Chris Paul, a three-level scorer with an insanely high basketball IQ. The Warriors do. The Warriors almost have two of those guys. They have Steph, incredible basketball IQ, most efficient scorer in the game. They also have Draymond, great passer, second in the league in assists behind only Chris Paul. Not a great scorer. They're going to need more from him in that department. But a guy who can run your offense the way, very similarly, that Chris Paul can. Seeing three chess moves ahead, all of those things. That's Draymond. Steph could do the same thing. Put the ball in his hands. He's a good playmaker as anybody in the league. Maybe behind only Chris Paul and LeBron and Luka and Draymond, I would say. Probably behind those guys. And Steph, anywhere behind, you know, in that next group. But it's going to take the Warriors running more pick and roll. And I generally side with Steve Kerr on this debate because this is a debate that Warriors fans have been having for years. The Warriors should run more pick and roll. Let Steph Curry embrace his James Harden, Houston Rockets era James Harden. I don't think that they should go that far. I don't think it should be space the floor, watch me work. No. But I do think that you can introduce the pick and roll as a staple of your offense early in the shot clock as opposed to late in the shot clock. Because it's not as if the Warriors don't run pick and roll. It just tends to happen later in the shot clock. It's a last resort. Hey, none of this ball movement stuff is working. Everybody's touched the ball, but we haven't gotten a good shot. Draymond, Steph, two-man game, go. And they launch into a pick and roll, and they get a great shot. And it's one of the best pick and roll pairings, if not the best pick and roll pairing in the league for many, many years. Do that earlier in the shot clock. But what we saw, watch that Phoenix game, man. Watch these Suns. Does it feel like nobody touches the ball? Because that's Steve Kerr's biggest gripe with the pick and roll, is that he wants to embrace that ethos of ball movement. That is a value of his, that everybody is included, everybody's involved. And by the way, I respect the hell out of that, and I agree with it. I think over the course of a season and a coach's tenure, that matters more than just a points per possession on a game-to-game basis, on a possession-to-possession basis, right? That stuff keeps guys engaged and motivated to win and to do the best for the team and to sacrifice a little bit. That stuff matters. I agree with that completely. But watch Monty Williams' son's teams. Does it feel like guys aren't involved? Doesn't to me. There's a middle ground here, is what I'm saying. And Steve Kerr, I'm telling you, has got to be watching this and saying, hey, there is a middle ground here. And it's not like that. It's not like Steve Kerr didn't know that. But now you've got the blueprint right in front of you. You've got the proof, the product. It's right there. It's in the finals. You're not. I would be stealing all of these sets, all of these plays, and saying, hey, I can put Steph in the Chris Paul or Devin Booker role. Maybe Draymond is playing the Chris Paul role. It's not going to look exactly the same, right? Different teams, different kind of skill sets. But if you're telling me Andrew Wiggins couldn't play in that kind of spot, 38% shooter last year from three-point range. Great cutter. Plays good defense. That it could work to me. That can work. Andrew Wiggins could play the Mikal Bridges role. Kevon Looney is one of the best screen setters in the NBA. He's not really a role threat, but that's where James Wiseman comes in. And this is where I think if you are committed to Wiseman, if this offseason shakes out and you haven't found a deal that is worth parting with Wiseman and punting on that upside, if you haven't found that and Wiseman is on the roster, you better put a good... Because that's how DeAndre Ayton flourished this year. Chris Paul took him aside. Monty Williams took him. They gave him a defined role. Hey, you are going to be... We're not going to run plays for you, but you are going to be a lob threat. You're going to be a pick-and-roll finisher, and you're going to be one of the more versatile centers defensively in the NBA. James Wiseman has a skill set. He doesn't have the experience, and he's not there yet. He's not ready to take that DeAndre Ayton-type leap, but if you can get something even close to that, if you can get a flash of it, then that changes the outlook of this franchise, this Warriors franchise, completely in a positive way. And so that's the role I would carve out for Wiseman, a defined role. You just took him number two overall. If you don't trade him, you're committed to him. You better figure out an offense that works for him. And, of course, Klay Thompson could survive. By the way, Klay Thompson has a killer mid-range game. Let's not forget that. He's bigger than Steph. He's got a killer mid-range game. So you could play this offense. You could figure this out. And if you're not going to get those genius playmakers, those high basketball IQ guys like Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston this offseason, if what you end up is getting stuck with a number 7 and number 14 overall pick to fill out your night-to-night rotation, then you're probably better off not playing that instant reaction, ping-ping ball movement style because you're not going to have the personnel to do it. You do have the personnel to do this. And this is the way that you get more out of young players and probably get the most out of Steph, who's playing the best he's ever had, that he ever has in his career. So you better believe every team in the NBA is watching, not only Phoenix, but Milwaukee and all these teams that got there. They're looking at what Brooklyn is doing, by the way, with Kevin Durant, who leads the league in mid-range shooting. So does Kyrie Irving, way up there. All these teams, isolation, mid-range, pick and roll, space the floor, offense first, defense next. All these teams are watching it. And every team, including the Warriors, is going to have to adjust. The Warriors used to lead the league, right? Every team was chasing the Warriors. But man, you haven't made the playoffs in 2 seasons. You're chasing now. And I hope they're watching what's going on and seeing how the game has evolved beyond them and willing to adjust. Because I'm telling you, with Steph, with Draymond, with Klay coming back, with Wiggins, with Wiseman, with some of the other moves that they can make, they have the personnel. And Steve Kerr, he's stubborn, but he's not. Remember what Steve Kerr, why he's so stubborn with the ball movement stuff. It's because he wants people involved. He doesn't hate the pick and roll. He uses the pick and roll all the time. It's just later in the shot clock. But what we're seeing with the Suns right now is everybody can eat. Everybody can be involved, even in a base pick and roll offense. That, to me, is the biggest lesson. All right, that'll do it for us today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you get podcasts. And, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are just getting started, I think, 3 weeks into the YouTube channel. The rollout has been awesome. The feedback has been awesome. The show is improving on YouTube. There's some glitches and some hiccups early on. We're still learning how to do it, but the show is getting better and better on YouTube. You can email me at WC Goldberg@Bay Area News Group. You can find me on Twitter @WC Goldberg. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your day, and hopefully I'll talk to you here tomorrow.